Malachi chapter 3. For several weeks, we considered God's indictment against the entire nation of Israel. At times, it was against the priests, but now this entire nation robbed God. We could look at more references in the New Testament, but we're going on starting at verse 13 tonight. But remember that though they were not doing what they should do, God said, if you will return unto me, and if you will do what I told you to do, it says in verse 10, he says, bring now the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. God is willing to be proved. Now, you'll look down at verse 15 for a moment. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are built up, yea, they tempt God and escape. So here is the same word. To put God to the test, to prove God, to tempt God, it can be done in a right way and it can be done in a wrong way. And God says he never minds being put to the test concerning anything that he's promised. But if it's outside of the things that he's promised, then they interpret it, that's tempting God. But if you charge God to do what he's promised, then God says, that's proving me, and I'm quite prepared to be proved. All right, verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here is a new indictment. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are built up, yea, they tempt God and escape. Then they that feared the Lord spake one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, even mine own treasure in the day that I make. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we marvel, as the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And we marvel, Father, that you would even take any consideration of us as thy creatures without Christ. And then, Father, it is a great thing that you would take consideration of us as thy children in Christ. And yet, thou dost tell us that you are greatly concerned with us. Thy Son has said this, the Father hath loved you as he hath loved me. We marvel in this. And thou art a long-suffering God. And as thou hast dealt with patience with thy people of old, so thou wouldst deal with patience with us, thy people, today. So let us learn from all that thou didst have to endure of old, And let it not be repeated in our lives today. But our Father, we pray that, having seen the things that displease Thee, the faults of those of old, that we shall turn from them, and that we shall not repeat them. So this night, our God, work in our hearts. Prepare the hearts of those who listen, His heart who speaks, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The people are still in poor spiritual condition, and while God is challenging them to put Him to the test, still He continues His indictments against them and tells them things that are going to happen in the coming day. He mentions in that day, and you notice the difference in translations that I read and the King James. Perhaps I'll tell you a little about that as we go along. But God is not through discussing not what His people do, but what His people say. Now, you should remember, turn back now to chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2, verse 17, and listen to what this says. You have wearied me with your words, saith the Lord. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? Notice in 2:17, the Lord says, I'm wearied with your words. And in chapter 3, the Lord says, your words have been stout against me. Now, in both instances, things are being said by His people. And in chapter 2, He said, I've been listening to these words and listening and listening, and they are wearying me. And so they had been repeated frequently. They wearied God with their words. And now, it is not what they do to God, but God weighs the words that they are speaking. And He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Now, this is a remarkable thing, that the Lord hears everything that we say. He knows how frequently we say it. And after a while, the Lord says, you have wearied me with your words. And at the same time, He knows if we speak timorously or if we speak stoutly against the Lord. And the Lord weighs the words that we speak. And He says, your words have been stout against me. Now, here is a remarkable thing, that God would endure, as Christ endured such contradiction of sinners, that God the Father would endure such conversation coming from the lips of His chosen people. But He does. There are others that I could tell you about, I shall not. But go through the Scriptures and find those that have spoken insolent words, irreverent words, wearisome words, stout words against God. And rather than God cutting them off immediately, God deals with them patiently. He says, these words that you're speaking, they're wearisome words. These words that you're speaking, they are stout words. And yet, over here, though they had been engaged in speaking words that had wearied God, they say, wherein have we wearied thee? Then it means that people have not given thought to the content of what they say. Tell me, when you talk about God, do you understand the content of your words, what you're saying? If you may say offhand, well, it's strange that these things happen to the people of God. Isn't this remarkable that this sinner does that and escapes? God hears those things. And then, if you come out and in a different way, notice, here God says, your words have been stout against me, and they say, what have we spoken against thee? Here again, though people have been speaking words that weary God for length of days, they say, wherein have we wearied thee? And though they have been speaking stout words against God, they say, What have we spoken against thee? Isn't this remarkable that all these things could be done and God is aware of them and we are not aware that we are doing these things, oblivious to them, and yet God is aware of them, and being aware of them, he tells us to repent, to change our ways. And so let's take up in particular this portion in chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein have we spoken against thee? God says, I will tell you exactly what you have spoken against me. Now, that is frightening. Why? Because it means that God knows everything we say. Do you remember when Sarah was listening in on a conversation that Abraham was having with these heavenly visitors, and she heard the conversation that was going on, and she laughed. And the visitor said, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. And so just as they heard Sarah, so when promises of God are made, when a servant of the Lord tells you certain things from the book, from this pulpit, and you scorn them, or you dismiss them, or you laugh at them, God says, why do you laugh? Why do you scorn these words? Why do you doubt these words? God knows the intention of our heart, and he knows the emotions of our heart, and God weighs those things. Because I've told you about things that are spoken. Now, please notice, they are audible in chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. These are things that are spoken. Your words have been stout against me. But it says over here, those that thought on his name. And so God is aware of everything I say, if I'm talking to you. And he is aware, if I say nothing, of what I am thinking. Do you remember when the Savior was talking to that woman at the well of Samaria? And the disciples came up, and they looked at him. And they wondered why he was talking with the woman. But it says, they said nothing. But the Lord knew what they were thinking. And John records that they were thinking certain things. Well, if you are better than some and you do not blurt out the feelings of your heart, but you think certain things against God, God knows those thoughts as well. He knows our thought afar off. And so that is frightening. Because it may be that I have spoken words that have wearied God and words that are lies against God, and the Lord is making a record of all the things that are spoken against him and that are thought against him, good or bad, in a book. This is what he tells us. And now, he is exhorting them about these words that they have spoken. And listen to them. What words have we spoken against you that are stout words? He said, I will tell you exactly what you said. Now listen. It says, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And so the Lord knows that. Here are people that are doing all the observances that God has set forth in his word, and yet they say, it's vain. It's all emptiness going through these motions because God isn't going to do anything about it. And we do it, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge? We have obeyed God, but what profit is it in doing the will of God? They are saying that, and God has listened. And another thing, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. So they are confessing this, that they are keeping his charge, that they are serving God, that they are walking mournfully before the Lord of hosts. It means that they are going through the motions. It's like this. It is as if you are obeying God's commands, but having obeyed them, you say, it's vain to keep his commandments. What profit is there in it? You keep on saying things like this to God, and God said, they are stout words. It is vain to serve the Lord. And this verse immediately comes to mind. In 1 Corinthians 15, here are dead bodies. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, and people are dead. And yet, Paul assures them that this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And having assured them, even though some in the church at Corinth are saying, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Do you hear those stout words against God? Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And having described how the dead are raised, and with what body they come, having assured us that what Christ promises, the resurrection and the life, shall come to pass, he says, wherefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And listen to these stout words. It is vain to serve the Lord. And Paul says, your service, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, Paul speaks one truth, and the opposite is spoken by those in the days of Malachi. Whom do you believe? You say, well, I must believe what Paul said. Then never say, it is vain to serve God. Understand that if people are dying all about you and you cannot understand it, it is not vain to serve the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And he says, be steadfast, unmovable, because such thoughts as these can unsettle you and move you. But be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because God's inspired word says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so I'm going to take courage. I'm going to labor for God. I'm going to serve God. Why? Because even though I can see no outward blessing now, my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And listen to this. They say, why, what profit is it that we have kept his charges, his ordinances? He's told us to observe certain things, that we do observe them. What is the profit to it? And I want you to see this. Turn to Matthew 19. Because all of these stout words against God are answered in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 19. This occurs also in Mark, but we can read the reference in Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 26. And Jesus, looking upon them, said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? Now, we just read that there's no profit in serving the Lord and keeping his commandments. Now, Peter asks the Lord. He says, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have? Let's see if there is no profit. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. What profit is there? What profit? I just read you the profit. Now, do you believe the words that have been stoutly spoken against God in Malachi? Or do you believe the exceeding great and precious promises spoken by the Lord Jesus? You say, I must believe the words spoken by the Lord Jesus. Well then, there is profit in serving the Lord. There is profit in denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. And he makes that promise in Matthew 19. And let's take it to heart. Because Satan would have these stout words to occupy a place in our mind. It is vain to serve the Lord. Paul says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What profit is it that we have kept his charge? The Lord Jesus said, this is the profit in keeping the charge. And this also, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Now, the confession comes out, and I understand that these are they that have gone through the motion without any feeling, without any genuine exercise of heart by the Spirit of God, but they're doing everything that God says, and having done it, and nothing happens, because God knows reality, and God knows formality, and receiving no reward for this cold formality, they say, there's no profit. They say, it's vain to serve the Lord. Why? We've walked mournfully, and God isn't even doing anything about it. Of course God isn't doing anything about it, because His people have been going through these motions from the beginning, and God is displeased with them, and they haven't learned the lesson to this day. Now, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Notice, they're doing what God says, but in 1 Samuel 15, these words that Samuel impresses upon this disobedient king, they think one way. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21, it says, but the people took up the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the devoted things, to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God, in Gilgal. Well, now, what could be wrong with that? Doesn't God say that lambs and bullocks and other sacrifices are to be offered? And so, instead of doing what you told us to do, we thought better, and this is what we want to do. Think of all of these offerings that can be upon the altar. Now listen to the discernment of Samuel. Verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Don't you see that these people think that going through the sacrifices, this religious ritual, is going to take the place of a broken and contrite heart, of a heart that obeys God and enters into the purpose of these sacrifices. And Samuel tries to instruct them in his day, and now at the close of the Old Testament period, God is trying to teach them the same lesson. And if you come to the remembrance meeting, and you say, I take the bread, and I take the fruit of the vine, but it seems all emptiness to me. You haven't understood it. You've never entered into what Christ says concerning that last Passover. He said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And some come and break the bread and drink the cup, but there is no desire, there is no joy. But we were singing, Jesus, the very thought of thee. What was it, blessed Lord, let thee forgive thy son? We were singing those things, and some hearts thrilled. Why? Because we were not doing it because God commanded it and we had to do it, and said, what a weariness it is. We did it because of the joy it brought to the Lord, and the joy that it brought to us, thinking of the redemption that is ours, and the honor that we give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some come to services, and they hear words of life. But they say, when will the service end? And some come and break bread and drink the fruit of the vine and say, what a weariness it is. There is nothing that I derive from it. They are saying again, it is vain, there is no profit, and God isn't looking down and blessing me for doing what He tells me. We are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, not just do what He says, but to love the Lord our God. And do you remember that at the church at Ephesus, all of these things God commends them for that they are doing, but He says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. So, there must be something more than simply doing what God says. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. There are some that worship God in an empty way. There are some that go into the temple and pray to God, as that Pharisee did in Luke chapter 18. And God is displeased with them. They have not understood the difference in going through the ritual and wondering, why, God, are you not looking at me and listening to all these things I'm telling you? I'm not as other men. I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice in the week. Now, aren't you impressed? And God is not impressed. And they don't understand that. And they do not understand that they're wearying God with their words, and that God is looking upon them and he sees the emptiness of the ritual that they're going through. And the Lord Jesus says this same thing. Let me read it to you for the sake of time. This is what he says. He says, take heed that you do not your righteousnesses before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. But look, righteousness has been done. He said, if you do it motivated the wrong way, you have no reward for it. The same thing in the Old Testament. They are walking mournfully. You see, they are afflicting their souls, but God says, I'm not observant of that. And it says, when therefore thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet. You'll get no reward for that. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites. And listen to this. He says, and when you fast, he says, when you do that, don't have a long face as the hypocrites, a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. But aren't they fasting? Yes. But God says, it's meaningless. And oh, it's so hard. My stomach, it's terrible going through all of this for God. God says, this isn't impressing me at all. And that's what they're saying in the Old Testament. Listen, we have walked mournfully before you. And in Matthew chapter 6, they say, look at all the pain that I'm enduring in this fast for you. And God says, I'm not impressed at all. And so all of these sacrifices that you're making for God, unless they're like Christ says, he says, when you fast, wash your face, anoint your head with oil, and let nobody know what you're going through. And this will impress God. And he says, you'll get a reward. And so do you see? There's so many things that we are doing that God tells us to do, but unless there is the inward harmony with what we are doing outwardly, then the Lord is not pleased at all. And we've done these things, and we're waiting, like that man in Luke 18, and we say, now God, what are you going to do for me? And God says nothing. It says the man went home the same way that he came into the temple. But that poor man that smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went home justified. And the other man, he went home the same way that he came in. And so God knows what takes place in the heart. And so in Malachi, their words are stout against God. And yet, while they're speaking these things, they're speaking them not as godless individuals, but as supposedly godly ones doing what God says. And when they've done these things and nothing happens, because they haven't done it in spirit and in truth, and God doesn't reward them, then they say, why? It's vain. There is no profit. They expect God to do something for them without their being in perfect harmony with the way that God wants them to do it. Now, look at this. They've also said, you call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are built up. Yea, they tempt God and escape. And so this is their comment on what is going on round about. But, and I trust that we are in this category. Look at verse 16 in Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord. Here are some who speak stout words against the Lord. But here are some that feared the Lord. It says, they spake one with another. You say, in my Bible, it says they spake often one with another. Well, the remarkable thing is this. Look at verse 13 in chapter 3. It says, yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? The word there, what have we spoken, is the identical word in the Hebrew, the same form. And they translate it, what have we spoken? Not spoken often against thee. It's just the word spoken. They put often in there, but there's no word in the Hebrew. And so it simply says, they then that feared the Lord spake one with another. What a difference. The words that come out of the lips of those with stout words in verses 13 through 15. And now the words come out of the lips of those that fear the Lord. Instead of speaking stout words against God, they find others that fear the Lord, and they have sweet communion and fellowship with one another. Now tell me, When is the last time that you spoke precious things to some child of God? That's an occupation that we should engage in. They that fear the Lord spake with one another. That's what we are to do. We are to encourage one another daily. And when those that are stoutly speaking against God say all of these things that are false, it's vain to serve the Lord. You and I say to one another, I'm so glad that I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, because my labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what I'm telling you. I'm speaking that to you. You come and tell me things like that too. Build one another up. Exhort one another. Encourage one another day by day. Why? Because I want to be one that fears the Lord. And when I'm speaking words to you, they're not words of criticism against God. But instead, they are words that are justifying God, contradicting all of these stout words that are spoken against God. What profit is there? Why, the profit is that I'm going to have eternal life in that coming day. And right now, God has given me spiritual mothers and brothers and sisters and houses and lands. He's done exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And God hears both sets of words. And it says that when we speak that way, God is writing down a book of remembrance. And that's beautiful to think. The things that I'm telling you now, God isn't going to forget them. If I tell you things that are false, God will hold me responsible. Be not many of you masters or teachers, my brethren, will receive the heavier judgment. But I'm telling you the truth of God. I'm telling you what those that fear the Lord should say. And God is writing those things down. And if I speak to you personally, it's when I come to your home, God is writing those things down. And then when you, in turn, tell me things that God has shown you from His Word, God is writing those things down so your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and your conversation with your brothers and sisters in Christ is not in vain in the Lord. And notice, it says, a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And so when I'm talking to you in a positive, truthful way about God, God is writing those things down. And when I'm having precious thoughts in my heart is indicting a good matter and I'm meditating upon things that are precious concerning the Savior, God is writing those things down. What I say God writes down and what I think God writes down. And He's writing a book of remembrance. And I want you to see this. Turn to Esther. See if you can find the book of Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, of those that kept the threshold, who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been bestowed on Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was there. And he said, Haman, what shall be done for this man? Now I ask you this question. If a wicked earthly king has it written in a book, all good things that are done for his protection and blessing and the benefit of the kingdom, if they are written down, and he is rewarded for the things done on earth for an earthly monarch, do you think that God is going to be any less faithful and that his reward shall be any less than those things that Ahasuerus rewarded Mordecai for that he did? You say no. Then Mordecai was set on high, taken through the city and given praises, given exaltation. Why? Because he had done something for the king. And the Savior says this. He says, they shall walk with me in white. And everything that we say for the Lord, everything that we do for the Lord, every good thing that we think for the Lord, God writes it down. And in the coming day, the book is going to be opened and God will say, what has been done for? And is your name there? If it is, what has been done for you? And the Lord Jesus will say, nothing yet in this side of glory. There was something done on earth, but nothing this side of glory. And then God will say, 5 cities, 10 cities, take this reward, take this crown of righteousness. And that book is written, and God is going to give out the rewards in that coming day. But they wanted them then. But it wasn't now, then. And they have to wait. But God has His rewards in time, and He has His rewards in eternity. And so let us enjoy those spiritual blessings now, and have patience, and God shall reward us in eternity. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, for any deceitful thoughts, for any lying thoughts, for any satanic thoughts that may have entered in our hearts and we entertain them, forgive us, Father, and cleanse them. But for every exceeding great and precious promise that has been in our heart that we believed you for and look forward to, our God, we thank you for that, and you shall never forget it. Let our thoughts be acceptable in thy sight. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And let us, Father, speak to one another, speak good things and truthful things and sure things. And let us not have stout words against thee, but let us have words that are words of truth and faith with one another about thee, the things that thou dost promise us. And let us be those that shall be rewarded now and in that coming day. Let us not be criticized by thee, but let us be praised and blessed of thee. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.